It's time for our monthly catch-up with RNIB's campaigns team. And once again, we have with us Costa Asprew, who joins us from our Camden studios. Costa, a few topics to chat about today, and we'll give people contact details at the end. But let's start, first of all, with education.
And as we all know, getting a good start in life is fundamental to help you achieve what you want in life and to fulfil your potential. And part of this good start is having access to a good education. But for many blind and partially sighted children and young people, getting access to education is not always easy. It often relies on parents and carers fighting for you to get the support you should receive, or having to develop your own coping techniques when the support does not materialise. Others receive excellent academic support, but struggle to develop independent living and mobility skills. That's why we want to hear from blind and partially sighted children and young people, to hear about their recent experiences in education, what support they did or didn't receive, what helped and what hindered. We also want to hear from parents about their children's experiences. So we've opened a survey, which is anonymous, and we'll use the results to identify some of the key challenges young people face in their educational journeys and to inform our forthcoming education campaign. If you're a blind or partially sighted young person recently in education, or the parent of a child with a vision impairment, we want to hear from you. Take our survey and help ensure no one goes without the education support they need. Please visit our website at www.rnib.org.uk/campaigning.
It isn't really important and probably something we don't think about. You know, when we think about education, we think about, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic, that kind of thing. But sometimes it is, you know, the mobility skills that are perhaps lacking, or independent living skills, you know, making a cup of tea, you know, making sure you're dressed correctly. These things seem to be forgotten sometimes when they're being taught.
That's right. All the different skills which are just important to everyday tasks.
Okay, from education and Costa, let's look at accessible formats, because, you know, we've talked about this a lot when it comes to health and so on, about people getting information in something which they can actually read or listen to, like letters in large print or braille or audio, but still a bit of a challenge at the moment.
That's right, and earlier I spoke to John about the importance of receiving information in his required format and how he challenged the Department for Work and Pensions, the DWP, with the support of RNIB.
It followed what had already been a year's of problems, really. I'd first applied for employment and support allowance in January 2016, and at that time I'd requested to receive all information in my preferred format. And then in 2017, I was made to transfer from DLA to PIP. And once again, I requested to have all information in my preferred format. And I didn't really think there'd be a problem, because I was dealing with a government department. In fact, it was the government department who had first sponsored disability legislation. And I knew that the legislation stated that I was entitled to have things in my preferred format as a reasonable adjustment. However, I didn't receive stuff in the format that I'd requested. In fact, all I ever got from them was print letters. And just to give you an example, for the employment and support allowance alone, I got 20 print letters, none of which I could read. I'm totally blind. And I just got the feeling that I was banging my head against a wall, really, at that stage. And that's when I contacted Samantha Fothergill in 2017.
Getting information via email is your preferred form of communication. Can you tell us why this is so important for you?
It's convenient to process. It's convenient to store. And it's very easy to respond to them. I can read Braille, but it's not the easiest and most convenient way to receive information. My experience, things like that often come very late when they're done by sort of separate units. They often arrive through the post very bent. They're often very slow to read, because letters are so indirect and so waffly that it's very hard and slow to get to the bit that's actually the crucial thing they're trying to tell you. And you can't answer them, and they're a nuisance to store. I think that they should be offering things electronically, because really, with the key forms that you have to fill out for the ESA and for the PIP, which a lot of people will be familiar with, the only real way of doing that independently is to have properly designed electronic forms.
I understand you've been in discussions with the DWP for some time now. Can you tell us more about that?
I was told straight out at the beginning that this was impossible. Following that, I got a lot of rather implausible excuses. I was told that emails are inherently insecure. Well, so's the post. I was told that if they sent me things by email, that that would involve sharing my information with other government departments. I never really understood that. It didn't make much sense. They said that there was a problem about viruses. And then finally, I was told that they couldn't send things to me via email because I was a vulnerable adult and I needed to be protected. And really, the more silly, contradictory nonsense they said, the more baffling it became, and also the more determined I became, really. I really felt they were trying to fob me off and they weren't being honest and they were just trying to wear me down.
It's wonderful news that your legal challenge has been successful and the DWP must now communicate with you via email. Can you tell us more about the offer they have made to you and why you think it is important that more blind or partially sighted people ask for this offer in their communications with the DWP?
In the end, we prevailed, and with Samantha's help, we've got them to agree to offer email. We had a meeting with, I think it was about 10 people from DWP, at Caxton House, which is their big headquarters in London, back in May. And they've promised now that this is a service that they can offer to visually impaired customers. So if you're someone who receives ESA or PIP or DLA or access to work, then I would very much encourage you to go for this option. So please request it, and I think it's important that people request it, to try and give DWP the idea that this is a popular and convenient and sensible way of communicating with their visually impaired customers.
Some wise words there when it comes to, you know, making your requirements known and kind of sticking to your guns and making sure you get them. Let's stick actually with the Department for Work and Pensions, Costa, because we're going to chat a little bit now about personal independence payments.
And as many blind and partially sighted people know, personal independence payments, PIP, is a benefit which helps with some of the extra costs related to disability if you're aged between 16 to 64. We know that PIP is a crucial benefit, but we also know that the current assessment and decision-making process is not working for people with sight loss. Listeners might have heard recently that the government announced it is to end the unnecessary PIP reviews for people with the most severe lifelong health conditions, and they will no longer have to attend regular reviews for PIP. At RNIB, we want the PIP process to be fair and accessible for blind and partially sighted people, and we are encouraged by the announcement on the amending of the assessment process for PIP applicants with severe lifelong conditions. So we'll continue to speak with the Department for Work and Pensions to seek clarity on this announcement and what it means for blind or partially sighted people. And we'll also keep pressing for a better assessment experience for all blind and partially sighted people in general. For more information about our PIP campaign, visit our dedicated page on the website at www.rnib.org.uk/campaigning.
We'll, of course, remind you of all the contact details at the end as well. And I'm sure many of our listeners, again, Costa, will really be interested in this development because it's something which, you know, many, including myself, have felt was wrong. You know, if you have, say, an eye condition which is not going to improve, then why be put through these assessments all the time? And, you know, the Scottish Government has pledged that that will not happen when PIP is devolved to the Scottish Parliament. There will be no reassessments if it's deemed that someone has this condition for life. So some good news there for the rest of the UK as well, that this could be part of it. And a very democratic decision there, which leads us into democracy.
Yes, and the inaugural National Democracy Week is in the first week of July and includes a series of events and discussions about what democracy means to people and how people can get involved in decision-making at every level. The scheme, launched and promoted by the Cabinet Office, is especially targeting those people who face barriers to participating in democracy and looks at ways to encourage people to get involved. RNIB sat on the Democracy Week Council and looked at the accessibility of events and ways of ensuring that blind and partially sighted people are able to participate in democracy as easily as sighted peers. As part of National Democracy Week, we're asking people to get involved on social media to give their experiences of voting, any barriers faced, and also to tell us why voting is so important. You can share your video or selfie on Twitter or Facebook using the hashtag TalkDemocracy and include @RNIB_campaigns so that we can spread the word. All your experiences will help us campaign to make voting more accessible.
Fantastic, and we are looking for more people to get in touch with Campaigns Costa if they do have, you know, anything which affects them as a blind or partially sighted person which they could get help with. But, you know, also looking for more people to get involved themselves as volunteer campaigners. I mean, would you agree that, you know, it really makes a difference if, you know, the people, the decision makers, the people in power actually hear from the people who are affected?
That's right. There's nothing quite the same as bringing decision makers and voters as close together as possible.
Okay, let's round things off then, Costa. We're almost out of time. We'll just give out some details. So people would like more info on perhaps the topics we've talked about, or as we said, you know, they may have an issue they want to discuss or get involved in volunteering with campaigns. How do they get in touch?
We have some great resources to help you, and we can put you in touch with your regional campaigns officer as well. Just visit rnib.org.uk/campaigns, call our campaigns hotline on 0207 391 2123 or email campaigns@rnib.org.uk.
And that rounds off this month's look at RNIB's campaigns. There's plenty more, as Costa said, you can get more information on. But we'll catch up with you again next month, Costa. Thanks for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks very much, Alan.